Welcome to South Mecklenburg Presbyterian Church's podcast, where every week we bring you the scripture and sermon from Sunday's worship. We are an inclusive, vibrant faith community located in the Ballantyne neighborhood of Charlotte, North Carolina. We seek to worship, grow, and serve with intention as disciples of Jesus Christ, and we strive to be a place where all are welcomed and made to feel at home. We're members of the Presbyterian Church USA and are led by our pastor, Dr. Matt Brown, and our associate pastor, Dr. Whitney Baer. Please join us for worship every Sunday at 10:10 a.m. in the sanctuary or via live stream at smpchome.org.
As we turn now to the Word of God, let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. As we approach your word, may we be ready to receive the message you intend for us this day. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Our first reading comes from Isaiah chapter 53, beginning at the first verse. Let us listen for God's word to us. Who has believed what we have heard, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity, and as one from whom others hid their faces. He was despised, and we held him of no account.
Thank you. Our second reading for this morning is found in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, verses 43 through 51. Let us open our hearts and hear the word of our Lord. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. This is the word of the Lord. Well, thank you for coming in today and having an interest in our work. Would you like us to get you a cup of coffee? No? Well, I've been trying to cut down on caffeine myself. My assistant now tells me that you would like to apply for our open position here. Do you have a resume to share with me? Seems kind of light. I guess this shouldn't take long at all. Says here, you are from, let's see, Nazareth? Did I pronounce that right? Oh, Nazareth. What is that, like a town or a county? Where is it? North of Samaria? Well, that's a bad neighborhood. I wouldn't want to get a flat tire there, if you know what I mean. So you're telling me that Nazareth is a one-stop sign village west of the Sea of Galilee. I did have a cousin who rented a yacht up there at the sea one summer. Said it can get scary when the wind blows. Of course, my cousin thinks he can walk on water, so who knows? Anyway, I did happen to Google Nazareth, and the latest census figures say that the village has somewhere between 200 and 400 people. Bet the mailman gets done before his morning coffee break. Y'all just take turns being sheriff? Nazareth. I'm sorry, that could be a problem. You see, the vast majority of our applicants hail from a different demographic. Accomplished parents, educated in the best of schools, which, to be honest, we all have here around Jerusalem. In fact, most of the best schools are within a 7-iron of the temple. Three of our applicants have parents who served as term as high priest. Yet, on your resume, under education, it says some homeschool, mostly self-taught, did an internship with a carpenter, and as a 12-year-old entered a debate contest with a group of adult rabbis. Well, that was a bold move. But unfortunately, Jesus, as our ad clearly states, the minimum standards for the position of Messiah include advanced degrees from an Ivy League institution, or as we call it, the olive leaf colleges. You would also need to have multiple articles published in accredited academic journals, and you would need to have at least 10 years experience as a high priest or at least a head of staff. So, I'm sorry, Jesus, you just don't possess the heft of a resume that would be taken seriously by our Messiah nominating committee. Have you thought about fishing? There must be a market for fishing guides up there in Galilee. Anyway, thanks for dropping by, and take my advice. When you head out for home, I'd recommend taking the outer loop around Samaria. No one should travel alone through there. So Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Jesus did not fit the profile of who Israel expected the Messiah to be. Have you ever felt sized up? Someone is sizing you up, but at the same time you feel underappreciated? Perhaps you have perceived how instantaneously assumptions are made. As a native of small towns with names like Mexico and Louisiana, way out in the flyover territory of Missouri, assumptions are a given for us. When I am meeting someone and they ask my hometown, the response I typically get is a look that is somewhere between confusion and pity. I once had an accomplished, educated adult ask the follow-up question, so where is Missouri in relation to the Mississippi River? It doesn't offend me. It's just funny because I admit I lived in a town with 4,000 people, and we'd make fun of the kids from Eolia, population 500. Eolia, it's a great name. It was named after the Greek god Aeolus, the ruler of the winds, because the day the surveyor plotted the land in 1881 was a particularly incredibly breezy day, which is not surprising out there. When the wind was whipping around during that storm here earlier this week, I may have mentioned to someone in the church office, you know what they call a day like this where I'm from? Tuesday. Of course, Eolia is out there. In fact, if you want to get something to eat, you're going to have to drive 16 miles to Louisiana, where you can get a plate-sized tenderloin sandwich at Fat Boy's Diner. It's a thing. Nazareth. Nazareth? Probably didn't even show up on TripAdvisor. Nathanael was from Galilee, and even he could not imagine Nazareth would produce someone worth following. Philip telling Nathanael to drop everything and follow Jesus of Nazareth would be like me telling you to drop everything and follow Phil from accounting. As Jesus foretold, he had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. This Jesus was not going to meet our expectations. This Jesus, you see, was not yearning to impress. This Jesus had come to redeem. In John's telling, when Jesus returned to his home, this home territory of Galilee, following his baptism by John, he found Philip Now, before this encounter, Philip, like Nathanael, would have no reason to believe that any transformative figure would emerge from the backwater village of Nazareth. But an encounter with the divine changes you, obliterates your preconceived notions about what is important, what is possible, who you are, what is the meaning of your life, and what you are meant to pursue. Philip didn't need Jesus to give him a prospectus or a resume or a swag bag or a free steak to invite him forward. He didn't need a sales pitch to invite Philip. Philip simply encountered Jesus and he was changed. Sometimes you just know. You just know. Do you remember the love at first sight vignettes from When Harry Met Sally? All the guy did was walk across the room at the camp social and say, "I'm Ben Small of the Coney Island Smalls." And his wife of 50 years remembers the moment. At that moment, she says, "I knew. I knew the way you know about a good melon." Sometimes you just know. Sometimes you have an encounter and you know your life will never be the same. Jesus found Philip, said, "Follow me." And Philip followed. At this point in the narrative, Jesus has not demonstrated any signs, offered no teaching, revealed any descriptions of the kingdom of God, or performed any miracles. Philip simply encounters the presence of Jesus and knows this is it. And what do we do when we encounter something that impresses us, that we love, that moves us, that twangs our buds? What happens? We cannot wait to tell someone. It doesn't matter if it's the crab hush puppies at Pinky's or the latest best-selling novel or the comedy of Nate Bargatze or the view from the top of Hawksbill Mountain. If whatever it is hits you right, you cannot wait to share it with someone. Philip encounters Jesus and cannot wait to tell Nathanael. Now, we assume that Philip already knew Nathanael, but you know, it could be that he was just so excited, Philip pulled aside the first person he came across. You gotta see this. Have you ever done that? You see some phenomenon, say the look of the sky from a particular angle at dusk, and you're telling the stranger walking by, "Look up. Did you see that?" Or maybe you're munching on some biscuit sample at Costco, and you're telling the first stranger you see, "Now don't leave without trying this." What is it we say, Joel? "It'll change your life." Joel is the gourmand of our supper club, and he has this saying that if it's something he really likes, it'll change your life. And most of the time, he's right. Something has such an impact upon you that you have to share it. You cannot control whether they will like it or not, but you have to offer the invitation. Nathanael said to Philip, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And what did Philip say to him? "Come and see. Come and see." Philip cannot hope to convey the explosion of wonder he experienced in his encounter with Jesus. Words alone won't do justice to what happened. Just a couple of days ago, I tried to describe a board game we played as a family over Christmas. I had forgotten the name and most of the rules, but I remembered enjoying it, which is saying something. Understand, I'm not big on board games. Perhaps you saw the meme of the introvert's New Year's Eve party. It was a photo of people sitting on a couch, silently reading their own individual books. Board games have a way of revealing our vulnerabilities, our idiosyncrasies, which to me spells torture. Yet, overcome with the spirits of Christmas, I played. And don't tell Donna, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. So I was trying to tell someone about the game, and I was trying to describe, well, you have this wheel that is kind of set up like a spectrum, and you have words like from spicy to not spicy, and you want your partner to guess the answer by giving them these. No, that's not it. What was it? Well, no, the answer is identified by somewhere on this wheel, and it. No, that's not it either. At this point, I could tell the eyes of the person to whom I was describing this, they were glazing over. I mean, I'd lost it. I couldn't do it justice. I knew I enjoyed it, but I fumbled my attempt to describe what it was. I couldn't do it. Nathaniel said to Philip, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." Philip could not describe what could only be experienced, but he could offer the invitation. Come and see. That is an important word for the church today. When the church raises the topic of sharing your faith, Presbyterians freeze. you mean share something from the interior of my life? You mean reveal how God is moving within me? Can I just deliver a casserole? Hand out a bulletin? Heck, I'll even review a financial statement. But tell somebody about Jesus? It's not that God is not moving within you, granting you encounters within the presence of the Lord, enlarging your heart, opening your eyes to see the world in a new way. You may experience that. You may feel all of that, but you know that your words are not adequate to convey the experience, and it makes you self-conscious. You cannot, you feel, articulate that encounter with the holy. I mean, I know my words are not adequate, and look what I felt called to do as a vocation. It is not easy to describe what is so alien to others. But we're not charged to replicate or dramatize the encounter with the holy. We are charged to offer the invitation. We live in a cynical world. We live in a "can anything good come out of Nazareth" world. We don't convert people to faith. We don't control the encounter with the holy. What we do is offer the invitation. Come and see. And I swear, Tammy and I didn't coordinate this, but she's right. What made a difference in the life of the preschool through all the years is not the advertising. It's the invitations. You feel good enough about something that you want to share it with others. Come and see. Come and see. What we do is offer the invitation. Many of you are here because someone invited you. They did not convert you. They did not give you an encounter with the Holy. They offered you the invitation. Come and see. And if you came, and if you hung around, it is probably because in some way, sometimes profound, sometimes subtle, you encountered the presence of the Lord in some way in this community. Philip did not open Nathanael's eyes. Philip did not invade Nathanael's heart. Only God can do that. Yet Philip played a key role. He offered the invitation. It was the presence of the Lord, the encounter with the Holy, that moved Nathanael's heart immediately. As with Philip, our call is to offer the invitation. Come and see. An invitation brought you here. The work of God's Spirit sustains and transforms you here. But when have you paid the invitation forward? You know, when churches are searching for pastors and staff members, they'll typically list in their expectations something like, "We hope our new pastor, educator, communications director, choir master will attract more young people." Really? I ask. So who've you been inviting? Because that's the only way it will happen. It's not going to be a marketing plan or a snazzy brochure that brings young people, old people, new people to a church. And God knows nobody wants to see a billboard with my face on it out on 485 or in a commercial. "We've saved a place for you." It's not polish and shine that fills the parking lot. It's your invitation. Occasionally, someone will say something like, "You know, I wish our church were more diverse. We need more diversity to be a representative of God's kingdom." To which I say, I wholeheartedly agree. So who are you inviting? The church doesn't ask you to convert anyone. We should have the humility to know that that's above our pay grade. Transformation is through the power of God alone. No, what the Lord asks of us is to offer the invitation, and in our admittedly flawed ways, to offer an introduction. Nathanael said to Philip, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." We live in a cynical world. What we are to be about is offering an invitation to the alternative and trusting God to do what God does. You stick around here because in some way you have come to know that something good does indeed come from Nazareth. It is something worth sharing. You won't convert your neighbor, but you can offer the invitation. Come and see. Amen.